Thank y'all for that. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. I like that. I like that part. It says, buried, he carried my sins far away. I'm so glad my sins are buried in the depths of God's forgetfulness. Amen. They're as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. I'm so thankful that my sins were buried. Jesus resurrected. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Not only did he resurrect, but he's coming again. Amen. I like that too. I like that verse. Says, one day he's coming. He's coming again. Amen. It could be today. I don't know when it's going to be. I just know it's going to be. He's coming again. Amen. All right. You can take your Bibles, if you would. Go to John chapter number 20. John chapter 20. And then I also want you to find Luke chapter 24. And we will be in both of those sections tonight. So if you could somehow figure a way to mark your place in John chapter 20 and Luke chapter 24. And we're going to be comparing these two accounts tonight in some ways. I thought about getting back into my series on David tonight. I have a couple more messages, not many, out of the series on the life of David. We're going to finish up that series before our revival meeting in May. And so I'm going to try to finish before then. And then we'll be doing something different. Pastor usually preaches on the home between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And so that's coming up. And so I'm going to finish my series on the life of David. And I thought about preaching on David tonight, but honestly, all this week, I was preparing a message somewhat on David, but I could never really get any peace about it. And it just with all that's going on with Easter Sunday, with resurrection celebration, I just felt like I just wanted to stay with the theme of the day. And so that's what I'm going to try to do tonight. I will say this here in a little bit. It's 6:27. I think about 6:40 or 6, between 6:40 and 6:45. Brother Alan Bradley's probably going to be coming up in here. And so if he does, don't let that be a distraction. We probably should try to make a scene out of it or something. But no, we won't do that. But he texted me and he texted me and said that they were on their way and that they were trying to get here. They hit some traffic in New Jersey, but they're traveling down to Florida for the conference that they did here some years back. We hosted the Reseeding America conference here at the church. What year was that? You know, 2020? No, 2022 maybe. I think they do it every 4 years. And so if that's the case, maybe it was 2022. I'm not sure when it was, but a lot of the BIMI missionaries, some of you recall that, were here. Well, they're having their regional conference, and they're having it in Florida. I wonder who planned that. Brother Larson, that was slick. Well, I'd be planning it in Florida every year, right? Oh, they only do it every 4 years, but they're having that in Florida. And so Brother Bradley left out this morning after their church service from New York, and he's heading to Florida, and he's staying in Madison tonight. And so they were trying to make it to our service, but they will be here afterwards, and he wanted to see the folks. So if any of you want to fellowship with the Bradley family, they will be here after the service, and they look forward to seeing many of you. And so I wanted to let you know that, and as I said, they'll be here. We're there. You're in Luke chapter 24, John chapter number 20. This is what I want to do tonight. I want to preach a message that I've entitled this. I was trying to decide how to tackle this text. I was looking at it from the angle of the resurrection and had planned to look at what I thought may be the aftermath of the resurrection, but I've decided to entitle my message tonight this: the ideal Sunday evening service. The ideal Sunday evening service. As far as I can tell, this probably was the first Sunday evening service of the church, right? And so we're going to see that here in a moment, and you're in John chapter number 20, I guess. I don't know where you're at, but if you're in John chapter 20, I want you to look in verse number 19. The Bible says this. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Now, I'll go a little further here in a moment, but what I see here is it's a evening, right, on the first day of the week. We know what the first day of the week is. That's Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. That's Resurrection Day, right? And so this is the Sunday that Jesus resurrected. And the Bible says the same day of the resurrection. If you were to read back in John chapter number 20, it's very clear that this is the same day that Jesus had resurrected. And it says that the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the writer here wants us to know this was Sunday and it was an evening service, and I'm calling it a service because the disciples were assembled together. I don't know how many were there. I just know there were many. The Bible makes it very clear that there were many. If you go to Luke, turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, I'm convinced and I'm just confident that this is the same account. It's the same event. It's just a different account. It's Luke's account of the same event. Luke chapter number 24. And I want you to look in verse number, let's start in verse number, look at verse number 33. It says, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem." Look at it. "And found the 11 gathered together." That's just another name for Jesus' disciples, right? It says, "They found the 11 gathered together," and look at it, "and them that were with them." So we know it wasn't just Jesus' disciples. It were not just the 11. At this point, Judas would not have been there. Judas has already betrayed Jesus. And so it's the disciples, but it's not just the disciples. There's others there with them. It says that they came to the 11 and those that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And verse 36 says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them." And so we're going to get into this here in a minute, and you'll see that I'm confident that this is talking about the same event, right? So the disciples are gathered together. I don't know how many were there. I just know it was a numerous amount of them. And they're gathered together on the Sunday evening that Jesus had resurrected from the grave. Now, before we get into the ideal Sunday evening service, I want you to understand where these Christians are. I believe that some of you will be able to relate. Honestly, I do. And I know I'm not going to say anything tonight that's going to surprise you. Probably not say anything new to you. I don't plan to. I'm just telling you a story that you're very familiar with, but I hope I'll remind you of some things. And so these disciples are gathered together. I want you to understand where they're at as they're gathered, right? It's the evening of the resurrection. It's either Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. It's been an eventful day, wouldn't you say? I mean, Jesus is resurrected from the grave. Right, there's a lot of stuff that has went on this day. We could go back in Luke 24 and we could see the two disciples that were on the road of Emmaus and how that Jesus appeared to them. We could look at how that Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. The Bible said just a minute ago when I read to you that Peter had seen Jesus, right? And so Jesus has showed himself to numerous people this day, but it's been a long day and it's the afternoon time or the evening on that Sunday, and the disciples are gathered together and I want us to see what kind of condition they were in. I think among the crowd, you will find all kinds of emotions amongst these people, as I believe you'll find here tonight. There were those that were in the gathering, in the assembling this night that were dismayed, right? They were in fear. The Bible says that in John. Go back to John if you would. I hope I don't lose my place jumping back and forth here. Go back to John chapter number 20, and I want you to see something. The Bible says that in verse number 19, it says, "When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled," look at it, I stopped reading there when I was reading my text. It says, "They were assembled for fear of the Jews." So we see that some of the disciples that were there, they were dismayed. They had fear in their heart. Could there be that there's some in the building tonight with some fear in their hearts? I don't know that there is, but there could be. I don't know what people are facing tonight. I don't know what phone calls they've gotten today or this past week. I don't know what they've read on the internet or what they've looked at, but there could be that people came into this auditorium tonight and there's fear in their hearts. They're dismayed. You see, this group was assembled together and there were those that were dismayed. There were those that were disturbed. I mean, can you imagine all the events that had taken place, what they had seen, what they had experienced? Jesus had been crucified, Jesus had been buried, and now Jesus had, to some account, and we know the account, had risen from the dead, but they didn't all know that. Some thought that he had been stolen, that his body had been taken away. Remember when Mary was at the grave and she thought that the gardener was there, it was Jesus, but she said, "Did you take his body? Where have you laid him?" And so they were dismayed. They were disturbed. They were disappointed. If we were to look in Luke chapter number 24, we would see as those two men walked along the road of Emmaus, the Bible says that Jesus came to them and he asked them this question. He said, as you walk and are sad, he said, what's going on? Why are you so sad? As you walk, what's troubling you? Right? And so there are those that are disappointed. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 10, given this account, says that they wept and they mourned. And so there were people in this group that was assembled together that were disturbed. They were disappointed. How about this one? I think I'll get some of you on this one. Pastor mentioned it at the beginning of the service. They were drained. Is there anybody here tonight that just feels drained? Hey, man, I got a couple hands on that, Pastor. You're worn out. You're tired physically, maybe emotionally, mentally. I can't imagine how these disciples felt, but I've tried to think about it. I tried to put myself in their shoes, and after all that they had been through, there's no doubt in my mind that many of them were drained. They had probably cried all they could cry. You do understand that their leader, the one, they said it, the one that we thought was the Messiah, the one that we thought was going to set up his kingdom, the one that we thought, the one that we were following has died. He's been buried. It's the third day. That's what those disciples said in Luke 24 when Jesus asked them, why are you troubled? Why are you sad? They said, do you not know what's going on? Have you not heard? It's the third day since the one that we believed, the one that we had followed has been dead. And no doubt these people had been upset. They've been disappointed. They've been disturbed. They were dismayed. I mean, they had watched as Jesus was mocked. They had watched as Jesus was beaten. They had watched as Jesus had hung on a cross and had died and was put in a grave. They were afraid they were next. There was fear in their hearts. They were troubled. They were disappointed. They were disturbed. I mean, they were drained. They were worn out emotionally and mentally and probably physically. Maybe some of them hadn't slept in these 3 days. I don't know what was going on. I know that many of you here have been through some difficulties and you've buried somebody that you love dearly. And can I tell you, that's a draining experience. It takes a toll on you. And I believe that's where these disciples were. They were disturbed. They were disappointed. They were drained. Hey, some of them were down. Look at Luke chapter number 24, if you would. Go back to Luke 24. We're going to play musical Bible here tonight. We're going back and forth. In Luke chapter number 24, in verse number 38, the Bible says this, that Jesus, when he came to them, well, verse number 37 says that they were terrified. You see, they're afraid and affrighted, the Bible says. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, listen, he said, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? What's going on here? Jesus knows what's going on, but he's asking them. He's saying, what's happening here? Did you not think I was going to do what I said I would do? What's happening? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so troubled? I'll tell you why, because some of them doubt it. If you read John chapter 20 and you read Luke chapter 24 and if you read Mark chapter 16, if you read Matthew chapter 27 and 28, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find some disciples that even after Jesus had resurrected from the grave, they had some doubt in their hearts. They didn't understand everything that he had said. Their eyes had not been completely opened at this point. And so here these people are gathered together and they're dismayed, they're disturbed, they're disappointed, they're drained, they're doubting. Can I tell you, even in the midst of all of that, there's a couple of them that are delighted. There's a couple of them I'm confident are delighted. Those two disciples on the road of Emmaus, they had seen the Lord. He had opened their eyes. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake to us on the way? And the Bible says that Jesus showed himself to them, and they went back to this group in Jerusalem, and they were telling them, when this count happened, those two disciples were there in that room, in that gathering, in that place where all those people were meeting, and they were telling them, hey, Jesus is alive. They were delighted. No doubt Peter had already seen the Lord. Peter was delighted. And there were others amongst them. I believe Mary, the Bible says that she left joyful and she was delighted. Jesus said, go and tell my disciples and Peter, tell them that I'm alive. And they were delighted. So in that room that night, in that assembly, in that let's call it Sunday evening service, there were some that were disturbed. There were some that were dismayed. There were some that were delighted. There were some that were doubting. There was all kinds of different emotions in that room. And I thought about how that here we are on a Sunday evening, and there's not a doubt in my mind that all that's in this room tonight. There's people here tonight that are just very disturbed in their heart. There's things that are going on in their life that they don't understand. There may be people here tonight that are dismayed. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I can get very dismayed. And I mean, I read something today. I don't even want to get into that. But what's going on in our world today? If we're not careful, it'll put fear in our hearts. I mean, the craziness that's happening in our own country and around the world today, if we're not careful, it'll put fear in our hearts. We'll be disturbed. If we're not careful, we'll be dismayed. We'll be disappointed. Things don't go the way we thought they were going to go. And all these emotions can happen. And no doubt there's some that walked in here tonight. You know what? They're delighted. They're just happy to be saved. They're just happy to be in church. They're just happy to be a Christian. And so there's all kinds of emotions amongst these people that are gathered in this Sunday evening service. I'll give it to you one more time for Brother Bradley. Amen. It's good to have you with us, Brother Bradley, and your family. It's good to have the Bradley family with us. We look forward to fellowshipping with you. The people that were gathered this night, they were dismayed, they were disturbed, they were disappointed, they were drained emotionally and physically and mentally, and some were doubting and some were delighted, but they were all gathered together on a Sunday evening just like we are, and we're going to see what I'm going to call the ideal Sunday evening service. The ideal Sunday evening service. This is what I hope happens tonight. I'm going to give you three things that I believe happened in this Sunday night service, this Sunday evening, the Resurrection Sunday. I want to give you three things that happened that I hope happened here. And number one is this: they got comforted. They got comforted. Look at where you at, you and John or Luke? Both, amen. Look at Luke chapter number 24. Look at verse number 36. The Bible says this. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, look at it, peace be unto you. Peace. If you go over to John chapter number 20, you'll see that Jesus said it twice in John chapter 20. In verse number 19, the Bible says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, look at it again, peace be unto you. You see, Jesus was speaking peace to these people. Why? Because Jesus knew everything that I just said to you. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our troubles. Jesus knows what's inside of us. Jesus knew that there was disciples that were dismayed. He knew there was disciples that were disturbed. He knew that some of those people were disappointed. He knew that there were some doubting. And Jesus stepped into that room and he said, peace be unto you. I know you're afraid. I know you're scared. I know you think that the Jews are going to come and they're going to do to you what they did to me. And Jesus said, but I want to calm your nerves tonight and I want to speak peace to you. And can I tell you, as we come to church on a Sunday night, I hope and I pray, not just a Sunday night, a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, anytime we come into the house of God and we gather together as the people of God, I hope that you get some comfort. Because I know what's out there outside of the walls of this church. I know what was outside the walls of this room that these people were gathered in. It's a crazy world out there. And there's all kinds of problems and there's all kinds of difficulties. But in spite of all of that, Jesus comes and he speaks peace. He says, peace be unto you. And he comforts them. The first thing the Lord did was calm their fear and comfort their hearts. I hope that happens tonight at church. I hope that if you came into this building tonight and you're troubled, you're disappointed, you're disturbed,
You're dismayed. You're doubting whatever's going on in your life. I hope that tonight, somehow, some way, in this Sunday evening service, that the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, would speak peace into your life. I hope that he would give you some comfort. I thought about some of the people that, and some of the trials that some of our church family have went through recently. Some have buried loved ones. People they love dearly, said goodbye to their dearest friend, to their husband, to their mother, to a cousin, to a brother, to a church member, and they've laid someone that they love to rest, and maybe they're troubled in their soul. Can I tell you, I hope tonight, somehow, some way, that the God of heaven would comfort you. I hope that God would give you a peace that this world can't give. That's what Jesus told his disciples before he left. Jesus had just told these disciples, I think probably not even a week earlier, Jesus had told his disciples in the book of John, I think it's John 14, I'm shooting from memory right here, so you forgive me, but Jesus told his disciples, he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, I'm going to give you something this world can't give you. See, what I've got for you, the world doesn't sell it. It doesn't come in a bottle. It doesn't come in a bag. You can't go down to the pharmacy and get it. You can't get a prescription for it. I know a lot of people are trying, but can I tell you, you can't get it. But God says, Jesus says, I've got something this world cannot give you. I've got peace for you. I'm going to comfort you in the midst of a crazy world, in the midst of disappointment, and in the midst of disturbances, and all the dismay and all that's going on. Jesus says, I've got comfort for you. I want to give you peace. I think it was last Sunday night. I don't know, Pastor. Pastor, it was recently Pastor asked us to mention something we're thankful for. And I stood up. I believe it was last Sunday. And I said, the peace. I'm thankful for the peace of God. You know, I don't ever want to forget. If I'm not careful, I will. If I'm not careful, I'll forget. I've been saved for over 20 years now. And I don't ever want to forget that war. That war that was raging inside my soul. That unrest, that lack of peace. I'm telling you, brethren, I didn't have no peace in my heart. Now, I tried a lot of things to find peace, and I looked in a lot of places for peace, but I came up empty every time. Oh, every now and then I get a little false peace. That's what the world has to offer. False peace. You understand that, right? I don't know what's going on in the Middle East tonight, but I'll tell you this. If we get home tonight and they say, there's peace, hey, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Because their peace doesn't last. This world's peace is not a lasting peace. There's only one that gives lasting peace, and he's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said, peace I give unto you. He said, peace unto you, to his disciples. And can I tell you tonight, that same Jesus that we already heard is risen, not was risen, is alive, is at the throne of God tonight. He's still offering that peace. Aren't you glad for the peace of God? The peace of God, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. You can't even explain it. How a person can bury a loved one. How a person can stand beside a graveside. How a person can get a phone call and get disturbing news, but yet still have peace in their heart. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. To be able to lay your head on a pillow at night and know that your sins are forgiven, that your Savior's alive. Oh, what peace it is. Peace, peace, wonderful peace sent down from the Father above. I'm thankful for the peace of God. Not only do I have the peace of God, but I've got peace with God. I was at enmity with God. I was in a war with God, and so were you before you got saved. But because of Jesus, because of the resurrection, because of his death, because of his burial, because of his resurrection, we're no longer at enmity with God. We have peace with God. And Jesus was calming these disciples. He was comforting their hearts. And so I hope that tonight, somehow, some way, I know if it's going to happen, it's not going to be me that does it. I can promise you that. But I hope somehow that God through me, God through his word, God through his Holy Spirit would comfort somebody tonight that's brokenhearted. I wish I could remember it. I think it's in Luke chapter number 24. I just read it recently. That Jesus, when he come to the, maybe it's not Luke 24. We're in Luke 24, aren't we? I know it's not Luke 24. I just read that. It's in Luke, though. I read it in my Sunday school lesson this morning. Jesus came. The Bible says he went back to Jerusalem where he was brought up. No, he left Jerusalem, went back where he was brought up. He was in Nazareth, and went into the synagogue as his custom was, and the Bible says he stood up to read. And you know what he read? He said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives, to bind the brokenhearted. I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm just saying this. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus does. He comforts the brokenhearted. He gives peace to that troubled soul. If that's you tonight, can I tell you, Jesus has peace. And so this Sunday evening service, they got comfort. Number two, not only that, they got confirmation. Look at John chapter number 20. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. Look at this. I like this. It says, and stood in the midst of them. He stood in the midst of them. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 24, I won't have you turn there, but in verse number 47, the Bible says that Jesus stood in the midst of them. It's as if the Holy Spirit of God wanted us to know that in this Sunday evening service, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Aren't you glad for the promise of the Bible where it says where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst? Can I tell you this tonight, brethren? Jesus is here. You say, well, I don't see him. I don't sense him. I don't care whether you see him or whether you sense him. I know what the Bible says, and the Bible says he's here. He's here. I was thankful, Pastor, Friday evening. He was there. We were in an Arbor retirement community home. We wasn't in a church building. We was in a fellowship room. But can I tell you, Jesus was there because we were gathered in his name. And I'm thankful when Jesus shows up. Jesus showed up in this Sunday evening service, and these disciples, they got confirmation. He stood with them. Aren't you glad when Jesus shows up and stands with us? It's so good to just know his presence. We live in a crazy world, and there's all kinds of crazy things going on, and it's good to come into the house of God and know Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He's promised he would be. And they got confirmation. He stood with them. Not only did he stand with them, can I tell you, he spoke to them. The Bible says that Jesus, verse number 19, you're there, it says he came and stood in the midst, look at it, and saith unto them. Not only did he show up and stand in their midst, but he said something to them. Jesus spoke to the disciples. Go back to Luke chapter number 24. In Luke 24, the Bible says this. It says that Jesus, in verse number 44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So Jesus stood with them, but then Jesus spake to them. He opened the scriptures to them. That's what we're doing. I'm opening the scriptures to you. And I pray to God that somehow the Holy Spirit of God would give us understanding of what the scriptures are saying. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Our pastor cannot do it. I don't care how good of a teacher anybody in this auditorium is tonight, you cannot do it. The Holy Spirit's got to. He's got to open our eyes. You ever talk to somebody and you're sharing the scripture with them and you're thinking, man, this is good stuff. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved right now. I just gave them the clearest plan of salvation they'll ever hear in their life. And they just, you know, look at you and say, did you watch that game last night? You ever had that happen? Yeah. And so you're like, man, that'll deflate your balloon right there, boy. You think, man, I just laid it out to them. I give it to them straight. They're going to get saved, and they start talking about the Final Four, right? But God's got to open their eyes. I pray to God that somehow, as the scriptures are being shared tonight, that Jesus would speak to you. That Jesus would speak to you. I can't tell you the times. I'm not going to say it happens every time, because I come into the church house just like you do. I come in dismayed and disturbed and troubled and all those things that those disciples did. And there's times where I don't sense His presence like I should. And I don't hear His voice like I should. But I sure am glad for the times that I do. Aren't you thankful for when God speaks to you? I'm so thankful for the times when I've been in a Sunday evening service or Sunday morning service or any church service, and the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God and speaks to me. You know what it is? It's confirmation. It's a witness on the inside saying, that's right. That's right. You see, we need that, because this world will tell you this ain't right. This world will tell you you're crazy. This world will tell you He's not alive. This world will tell you He died and He didn't rise. And this world will tell you He's not real. But when you come to the house of God, you know what happens? He shows up. He comes in the midst. He stands in the midst. He speaks to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit on the inside starts to give us a little confirmation that says, oh, that's right, He is real. Oh, yeah, He is risen. You see, we forget sometimes, but I'm thankful that when we forget, He steps in and He stands in our midst and He speaks to us, and He goes beyond just speaking to us. He shows Himself to us. That's what He did for these disciples. He showed Himself to them. The Bible says, Jesus said, come here, guys. I mean, they were troubled. They thought it was a spirit. They thought, there's no way this is really Jesus. And you know, it's like sometimes you're like, what were they thinking? But then all we got to do is look in the mirror. What are we thinking? I mean, all that God's done for us, all the lives we've seen changed, all the miracles we've seen performed, all the great works that God's done, as we heard this morning, he takes a sinister and makes him a minister. He takes a persecutor and makes him a proclaimer. But yet sometimes we'll find ourselves, you know, where they're at. Like Thomas. I ain't gonna believe unless I see. And how compassionate and good is our God. You know what He does? He says, all right, I'll show you. Come here. Put your hands in my side. Look at the nail prints in my hands. Jesus kept the scars for all eternity. And I'm just so glad that Jesus said, hey, look at what I've done. I want you to know it's me, guys. He says He shows Himself. He goes beyond just showing Himself. If you're in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says that He ate with them. Look at Luke chapter number 24. Verse number 40, I'm looking, I'm sorry. It says, and when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, I like that it said they believed not for joy. I thought, what does that mean? Now, this is the only thing I could come up with, all right? This may not be accurate, okay? This is my opinion. I'm just telling you this. The only thing I could come up with, it was so good, they couldn't even believe. It's too good to be true. You ever said that about something? It's just too good to be true. And most of the time in our world, I can't tell you the times that I've said this. You know, if it's too good to be true, it probably ain't. But in this situation, it was. They wondered for joy. They could not believe it was Him. They said, it can't be. It can't be Him. He said, hey, guys, I'll tell you what. I'll go beyond just letting you look at my hands and my feet. He said, while they believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, hey, got any meat? You guys got anything I can eat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it, and He did eat before them. Jesus said, I want you to know I'm not a spirit. A spirit can't do this. Jesus said, give me some fish. He proved Himself to them. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 1, in verse number 3, it says that He showed Himself alive after His passion, listen, by many infallible proofs. You know what that means? It means proofs that cannot be denied. Infallible proofs. Can I tell you that over the past 20 years, Jesus has proved Himself many times by many infallible proofs in my life? You can tell me what you want, but I'm not going to believe you. Why? Because He's proved Himself to me. He's proved Himself. He's confirmed who He is in my soul. Has He in yours? I hope He will. I hope He has. I hope He does. If He hasn't, maybe He will tonight. That's why we come to church. You say, why do we come to church? Because we need some confirmation, brethren. That's why we need church. You know, there's people that ain't been to church in a long time, and they've forgotten, Brother Steve. They've forgotten. But you know what? They get in the house of God. They hear the word of God. They sense the spirit of God. And you know what starts to happen? They get some confirmation. Oh, yeah, he is who he said he was. He showed himself to them. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, John said this. He said, which we have seen with our eyes. Listen, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. John said, I saw him. My hands touched him. John said, I know he's alive. I seen the scars in his hands. I seen the scars in his feet. I handled him. I touched him. He let me touch him. He proved himself to me. He confirmed who he was. And so we see the Sunday evening service, they got comfort. They got confirmation. And last, they got commissioned. They got commissioned. Luke chapter number 24, I already read it to you. Verse number 47, verse number 46, he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a great commission to me. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, Jesus commissioned his disciples this Sunday evening. He comforted their troubled hearts, and he confirmed that he was alive and he was who he said he was, and then he commissioned his disciples. Look at John chapter 20, and that's where we'll close at. John 20, Jesus said to his disciples in verse number 21, he said, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me. Listen, even so send I you. Jesus said, I'm commissioning you. I've got a work for you to do. He give us his example, or I couldn't decide. You tell me later which one's better. Good night. Not that one. Don't use that one, right? Take that one out the notes, right? His example or the pattern. He said, as he sent me, so send I you. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm the example. I'm the pattern. He's the pattern, brother. He said, as my Father sent me into a world that was lost, into a world that was what Philippians says, you know what it says, that the Father sent him into the world. I've just lost it. But Jesus came unto his own, right? Amen. Y'all, I'm thinking and y'all thinking and wheels is turning. It's okay, right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and became fashioned as a man, and humbled himself even unto the death of the cross, right? Jesus said, as I came into a world, and I became a servant, and I humbled myself, and I served this world, that's what you need to do. He's the example. He's the pattern. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, as the Father sent me to sacrifice myself, to submit myself, to serve him, to represent him, he said, even so send I you. Jesus said, I'm the pattern. I'm the example. And he commissioned his disciples, and then he empowered them or equipped them. He gave them power. He was the pattern. He gave them power. He breathed on them, the Bible says. It said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, there's some debate whether or not Jesus literally gave them the Holy Ghost here in John chapter 20, or whether he told them that was just a sign that they were going to get it in Acts chapter number 1, and I'm not here to debate that. All I know is this. Jesus said, not only am I commissioning you, not only am I enlisting you, he said, but I am going to equip you, I'm going to empower you, I'm going to give you what you need for this work that I've called you to do. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. And so we see his example, we see his equipping, and then we see last his enlisting. The pattern, the power, or you could say this, the plan. He said, go preach. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus said, that's the plan, guys. That's the plan. I'm commissioning you to do what I did. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Go into the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them. Teach them. All nations, all people, everywhere. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do. You know, that's an ideal Sunday evening service. That's an ideal Sunday evening service. Comfort. Right? Commission. Confirmation. When we come to church, I believe if we get those three things, it's been successful. If you come in this building tonight and you're troubled in your soul, I pray to God that the Holy Spirit of God would comfort you, give you peace. I pray that if you come in this building tonight and you're doubting and you're troubled and you don't even know and you're beginning to question some things in your heart and in your life and about Christianity, I pray to God that somehow the Holy Spirit of God, through the Scriptures, through the Word of God, through the presence of God, that Jesus would reveal himself to you and would confirm to you that he's real and give you confirmation to go out into this world and keep serving him and keep living for him. And I hope he would commission us to do his work. We've got to do his work, brother. I got to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded. If I'm not careful, I'll get caught up in work. I'll get caught up in leisure. I'll get caught up in the things of this world. And I need to be reminded that there's a lost world out there. And if somebody doesn't tell them, they're not going to know. And the devil wants to rock us to sleep. But Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. He said, you've got to go. You've got to share it. We've celebrated the resurrection today, but can I tell you, there's so many people in this world that we're going to go to work with tomorrow, that people's going to go to school with, that people's going to rub necks with. Now, I'm just messing with Brian. Y'all don't remember that. Brian said they was rubbing necks down at his work. Also, I don't know what y'all do down at y'all's workplace. We might rub shoulders every now and then at my workplace, but we ain't rubbing necks, right? But anyway, you'd had to have been here for that one, right? But I'm just telling you, there's some people you're going to rub shoulders with tomorrow. They didn't celebrate the resurrection today because they don't know. They don't know that Jesus is alive. And they're troubled, and they need somebody to tell them, peace. Peace. Somebody to comfort them. Somebody to give them some confirmation. Somebody that's commissioned to go and share the gospel with them. That's what they need. The ideal Sunday evening service. Amen. I hope that happened here tonight. You can stand to your feet if you would.